Well, here we are, January 2nd. It's the first Sunday of a new calendar year, and I'm sure many people in various places have made resolutions. I don't make resolutions, at least not often, and I have made resolutions in the past, but for the most part, I have joined that great mass of people. The last statistic I heard was 84% of resolutions are broken by the end of February. It appears that we are quite able to make resolutions and not quite as able to keep them. So what do we do then at the beginning of a new year? It's important for us to pay attention to these times of transition. That's why we have birthday celebrations and anniversary celebrations, not just to eat cake, although eating cake is always worth it just by itself, but more, it gives us an opportunity to spend some time reflecting on what was before and what's to come. And if we choose to make resolutions, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, the fact that I can't keep them doesn't mean that each of you are the same. For all I know, you've kept all your resolutions in your life. But one way or the other, we look back and we look forward at the same time. If you're familiar with some of our ancient mythologies, the god of the new year, Janus, had two faces looking forward and backward at the same time. It's this idea that we do at least some kind of reflection on where we were in this past year of pandemic and challenge, and where we might be going forward in a year that is at least beginning with pandemic and challenge, but we all hope won't end the same way. And so when we think of going into a new year, we might want to think of it as a journey. And if we're going on a journey, whether it's long or short, there are some things that we need to bring along. And our sermon title this Sunday sort of picks up on that with what shall we begin this year? What are we going to take with us? Well, it's easier when you're loading up the car to come up with what you physically need to go along. It doesn't mean you won't forget things. I suppose there are people who have been on family trip after family trip and have never left something important behind. But I don't think I've ever met that person or those people. It's just a matter of time for most of us before we leave something of various levels of importance behind, or perhaps as we did once on top of the car. We hope that at least the squirrels enjoyed the muffins that were there when we left, but not when we had our first stop. It's one of those things that we still remember. It's become part of our family lore. And often when we're going on a trip of any length, somebody will say, "Are there any muffins on the roof?" Just to keep us humble. But what are we going to take with us into this new year, into the year of our Lord 2022, as it might have been said in an earlier time? Well, what do we begin with? Hopefully, and I choose that word carefully, hopefully we begin with hope. It's sometimes said that without hope, we simply don't survive. And all kinds of studies of people under severe levels of stress in concentration camps and prisons and being lost in the wilderness and those sorts of things. One of the things that seems to be a required characteristic of survival is some level of hope. Not foolish hope, not that Pollyanna kind of hope that says that everything that happens is somehow good, or that every bad thing that happens will stop being bad almost immediately, because that's just not the case. Rather, it's that sense of hope that things will come to a fruition, will come to a resolution in a way that is actually useful, beneficial, understandable, perhaps even. And we look forward to that even when we don't see the evidence of it yet. And if we're going to begin with hope, we need to have something on which to base that hope. And as I was looking at the texts for this Sunday, taking a moment to marvel once again that what was read for us in Ephesians 3, chapter 1, verses 3 to 14 is a single sentence in Greek. Having had to translate it, it's really a pain. But passing over that into what is possibly one of my favorite parts of the entire Bible, and that's the beginning of the Gospel according to John. And in John's almost mystical wording, we're reminded that Jesus, was the Word, was this definition of all that is. Some people have translated this as, in the beginning was wisdom. Richard Rohr has translated as, in the beginning was the blueprint, was the model that we are to follow, and that model is Jesus. And when I'm thinking of things that I want to take into this new year, they're not always new. When you go on that family trip, there are some things that you always take, I suppose. We do. We always take sunflower seeds so we can eat them to stay awake, eat them just because they're fun, whatever it might be. We always take books. We always take podcasts now. We used to take books on recording of some sort. These are things that we've taken on all of our trips, and we continue to because they continue to provide value. And so what are we going to take with us this year? I think we need to remember to take Jesus. We need to remember that we are people who follow and do our best to emulate Jesus. Not a doctrine, not a list of principles, not even a statement of faith. We are followers of Jesus the Christ. As I'm sure you've noticed if you've been here very often, I don't refer to people as being Christians very often, not because I think it's bad, but because it's a word that has become blurred. And when high-profile politicians, for example, can describe themselves as Christians and live lives that we simply don't understand how they fit, I think it's better for us to describe ourselves as people in a relationship with God, empowered by the Holy Spirit through Jesus. And what we do, what this through Jesus part is, we are trying to be like Jesus. We're trying to be more like Jesus than we were before. And that doesn't mean that we look at the details of life 2,000 years ago in Palestine, because if we dress that way in this weather, especially last week, we'll simply die. So we're not asking you to wear robes, to wear sandals, or anything of that nature, because that's just kind of silly. Instead, we look at who was Jesus when Jesus was here among us. The mystery of the incarnation is something we'll never fully solve, because we can't imagine in our own selves what it would be like to be, well, to be two things, let alone fully human and fully God at the same time as Jesus was. And we can overemphasize one or the other to make a point, perhaps, but if we live too much with this idea that God, that Jesus was God and human, we run into problems in the same way that we run into problems if we think that Jesus was human and God. They were the same. He was both at once in a mysterious way, never before done and never since. But what it helps us do, or what it opens our eyes to the possibility of, is we can be like Jesus. Not in the divine part, because we're only fully human, but in the human part. So what are we going to begin this year with? Well, what if we begin with looking at those parts of the life of Jesus that we think we can do, or that we know we can do, or that we know we can do better? Well, there's lots of things that happened in the life of Jesus that I don't think we need to spend a lot of time trying to emulate. I don't think there's any particular purpose in us trying to walk on water unless it's frozen and you're going ice fishing or something equally delightful. Taking a dog for a walk on a frozen lake is an experience that was interesting for us and the dog last weekend. But we're not looking at those things as much as we're looking at how did Jesus treat people? And more to the point, or perhaps even more critically, how did Jesus treat people who couldn't do anything for Jesus in return? How did Jesus treat the poor, the outcasts, the homeless, the addicted? All of these things that we see to one level or another, can we begin this year trying to behave towards these people more like Jesus did? Or towards children? How often are we told in Scripture by Jesus to look at children, to be more like children? One of the very best things about getting old, there aren't a lot of great things about it, but there are some that are pretty good. And grandkids is one of the very best. I learn from my children a lot, but I find it easier to learn from my grandchildren because I'm not so concerned about how they're behaving. Because that's not my problem. Okay, I'm part of the solution, but it's not really my problem. And it's not always my place to step in. Are we willing to learn from children? From the literal children and from the childlike around us? Jesus told us to do that. And I think Jesus also did. I think the fully human part of Jesus understood more things about God because of the way children interact than he would have otherwise. And we can do that. We're not called to physically heal people, at least not very many of us, some as physicians, some given the gift of healing, but most of us aren't given that gift of physical healing the people around us. But can we not be part of healing their internal world, their souls, by treating them well, by treating them better maybe than they deserve, by treating them better than we want to? You think Jesus always wanted to be that patient, kind person? I don't know. I think being fully human, I suspect that he had at least moments where he went, again? I have to explain this again? Or whatever else it might have been. Jesus had moments of impatience, of tiredness, of all the things that we have because Jesus was fully human. And yet when we look at the life that Jesus led and think, if we emulated that life, would it be a good one? The answer is yes. And so here, as we are into a new year, almost 36 hours, I guess, into it now, let's begin with being more like Jesus than we were last year, because we were like Jesus last year. This isn't something that we're starting from scratch. This is something that we're doing more of. And so perhaps not so much a resolution, but a decision, an intention, if you will, to try and pay attention to those opportunities that we have to be more like Jesus than we were last year. And I think when we do that, we'll make the world a better place. We'll make the people around us better. And I think we'll be better too. Amen.